ओम अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सह गणलिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेशगोपिकान्तराधाकान्त नमोऽस्तुते। तप्तकाञ्चनगौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरि वृषभानुसुते देवि प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमो ॐ विष्णुपादाय पृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणि प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादि पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे हरिदाम हरिदाम राम राम हरे हरे। आनंद लीलामय विग्रहाय हेमावदिव्य छविसुंदराय तस्मै महाप्रेम रस प्रदाय चैतन्य चंद्राय नमो नमस्ते। सो As we know, nigama kalpataror galitam phalam shukhamukhad amrita drava samyutam pibata bhagavatam rasamalayam muhuraho rasika bhuvi bhavukaha. Very famous Mangalacharana verse, the third verse of the first canto, first chapter, describes that Srimad Bhagavatam is the most ripened fruit. Srila Gaur Govinda Maharaj used to very famously say that when you go to the tree, you ask for the twig, you ask for the leaf, you ask for the flower, you ask for the trunk, the tree will give you. But go and ask the tree, what does the tree want to give you? And the tree will say, I just want to give you one thing, and that's the fruit, not the leaf or the twig or the branch. So similarly, we can go to the Vedas, who are like the tree, and we can ask anything. Putravan dhanavan loke dirga yurupajayate yam yam kamayate kamam tam tam prapnotya samshayam. We can go to the tree of the Vedas and ask for whatever we want. Long life, children, lot of joy, fame, money, etc. And the Vedas will give you. But when we go and ask the Vedas, what do you actually want to give me? The Vedas will say, we don't want to give you anything lower than the fruit. And the fruit of the Vedic tree is Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam. And this fruit is full of juice, without skin outside and without any seed within. The fruits in this world we see, you can take the pulp, but you throw off the skin and throw off the seed. But Srimad Bhagavatam is not a fruit which has a seed and has skin. It's just pulp in and out, upside down, left, right, center. Srila Prabhupada used to say that you can eat it from any direction, any of my books, from anywhere, and you will get tasted, you will get the taste of the juice. So Galitam Phalam. The Srimad Bhagavatam on the Nigama Kalpa Taror, on the wish-fulfilling desire tree of the Vedas, Galitam Phalam, Srimad Bhagavatam is the most ripened fruit. And especially Shukha Mukhad Amrita Drava Samyutam. This is not even fruit, this is fruit juice. You can see sometimes children, when we give them the fruit, cut fruit, they are not interested. They want to drink juice directly. So those in Kali Yuga, they are like children. Prayanal payusha sabhya kalavasmin yuge jana mandasumanda matayor mandabhagya upadrita. Upadrita means always restless. In mridanga or in tabla, there is a beat, fast beat called as dhritlay. Drit means fast. So vilambita means slow, madhyatal means middle, and dhrittal or dhritlay means fast, when it goes very fast. So the word uses upadrita. The minds are always in fast mode in Kali Yuga, always being played fast. Restless. So in this childlike restlessness in Kali Yuga, we can't even taste the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is like a fruit. So very kindly, what Shukdev Goswami has done, he has put, so this is a pun here, Shukha Mukad. Shukha means a parrot, but Shukha also means Vama Hastasthita Shukha. The Brahma Vaivarta Puran describes that who is Shukadev Goswami? Vama Hastasthita Shukha. He is the parrot sitting on the left hand of Srimati Radhika, Srimati Radharani. So that Shukha, Mukhad, he put his lotus lips as Shukadev Goswami. And poetically speaking, we know in this nature, Mother Nature, very famous example, when the parrot puts its beak, the taste of the fruit increases multifold times higher. So when the parrot called Shukadev Goswami puts his lotus beak, or in the form of the lotus lips, with his bhav, then what happens? Amrita Drava Samyutam. This Srimad Bhagavatam flows like nectarian juice. Imagine if we are like ants on the floor and the fruit is hanging up there. We can't go and get him. But if a parrot puts its beak, now all the juice is dripping down the trunk for the ants on the floor. So we are like ants on the floor of Kali Yuga. And Shukadev Goswami has lovingly put his lotus lips of bhav, vrajras, his mood of complete love, loving devotion at the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. He has put his mixed his bhav. And then that Srimad Bhagavatam fruit is now dripping. Amrita Drava Samyutam has become dravit, has melted, has become like juice coming down the trunk of the Guru Parampara. And even for ants in Kali Yuga, crawling on the floor of ignorance can also be something. Therefore, it is not said here, Srimad Bhagavatam. The verb dhatu used is pibata bhagavatam. Piba. Pibare ramarasam. Rasane pibare ramarasam. Pibare ramarasam. Rasane, o rasana, o tongue. Pibare ramarasam. Please drink the rasa of Ramnam. So we see this tradition where the acharyas are saying, drink the holy name. Pibatu. Drink. Pibat bhagavatam rasamalayam. Tasmin mahat mukharita madhubish charitram. I can show you one verse in Srimad Bhagavatam. Very nice verse. There also this dhatu has been used. I think the number I'm trying to... yes, you can see the same dhatu has been used. Taye pibanti avitrushondra pagadha karanais. That those who drink Srimad Bhagavatam, how should they drink? Avitrusha, with ever increasing Trishna, and Gadha Karnai, with ears almost stuck to the Katha. Gadha Karnai, with thick, concentrated emotion. To them, Tan, Nas Prashanti, they are never touched by hunger, thirst, fear, lamentation, and illusion. For those who drink Srimad Bhagavatam. Not just passively hearing, but actually drinking Srimad Bhagavatam. So back to the verse. This is, So, Pibata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam. By drinking this house of rasa, Muhuraho Rasika Bhuvi Bhavuka. Who are the rasikas? The eternal associates, the ragatmika bhaktas. They are the rasikas. And those who are raganuka sadhanas, sadhakas, they are bhavuka. O Muhuraho Rasika Bhuvi Bhavuka, O eternal associates, and those on the path of eternal life, please come and relish the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is an open-ended invitation for everyone. But however, to relish Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a very strict instruction given by Swarup Damodar Goswami. Jao Bhagavata Pada Vaishnavera Sthane Ekanta Ashraya Karo Chaitanya Charane. Chaitanya Bhakta Gana Nitya Karasa Tathapi Janiya Siddhanta Samudra Taranga. Swarup Damodar Goswami says, the two things needed to understand Srimad Bhagavatam completely is, one, take shelter of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And second, daily associate with the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Only then you will understand complete purport of Srimad Bhagavatam. Someone will say, this is a very sectarian thing to say. Why would you say only by taking shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can we understand Srimad Bhagavatam completely? Can't we understand without that? Oh, well, there is very deep Siddhanta for this. The deep Siddhanta is, who can understand Srimad Bhagavatam completely? Lord Shiva has said, Aham Vedmi Shukho Veti Vya Veti Na Veti Va Bhaktya Bhagavatam Grahyam Na buddhya, na chatikaya. Lord Shiva has said, what is the path, proper way to understand Srimad Bhagavatam? Who can understand? Lord Shiva says, Aham Vedmi. I understand Srimad Bhagavatam. Shukho Vekti, even Shukadeva Goswami understands Srimad Bhagavatam. व्यास वेति न वेति वा, नॉट सो श्योर वेदर व्यास अंडरस्टैंड श्रीमद् भागवतम. इट्स अ वेरी वेरी बिग स्टेटमेंट टू से. कृष्ण द्वैपायन व्यास देव शक्ति आवेश अवतार ऑफ भगवान हु हैज कंपाइल्ड एवरीथिंग. व्यस्यते इति व्यास, ही हु कंपाइल्स इज कॉल्ड व्यास. So Lord Shiva is saying, I understand Srimad Bhagavatam. Shukadeva Goswami understands Vyas. Whether he understands, I'm not sure. Why? Bhaktiya Bhagavatam Grahya. Na buddhya na cha tikaya. Srimad Bhagavatam is not understood by only flipping the commentaries or on the gymnastics of our mental intellect. It is understood only by devotional heart, devotional service. So the point is, who can understand? Why Vyasa Vetti Na Vettiva? Well, if you understand, if you think Vyasadev to be Bhagavan, Na Vetti, he doesn't understand Srimad Bhagavatam. Because Bhagavan has love for his devotees, but he doesn't have bhakti for himself. Devotees have bhakti for Krishna. The definition of pure bhakti, Anya Avilashita Shunyam, Jnana Karma Dhyanabritam, Anukulyena Krishna Anushilanam, Bhakti Ruttama. So Krishna himself is not Krishna Anushilan. He doesn't do Krishna Anushilan. So Krishna can't perform bhakti. So he can't understand Srimad Bhagavatam. Who can understand? Only devotees can understand. Only Radharani can understand. Only Shukadev Goswami and Lord Shiva can understand. So if we take Vyasadeva as Bhagavan himself, then Naveti, he can't understand. But if we take him as a disciple, surrendered at the lotus feet of Narada Muni, then Vetti, oh, then he understands because he's a devotee now. So if we see Vyasadeva as Bhagavan, then he doesn't understand. But if you see him as a devotee, then definitely he understands. So the point is, does Krishna understand Srimad Bhagavatam theoretically? Not practically. Who understands? Only Radharani understands completely. So Krishna can understand Srimad Bhagavatam only when he takes the mood of Srimati Radharani. So only Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu completely understands Srimad Bhagavatam because she's in the mood, or he's in the mood of Radharani, who has complete devotion and naturally complete understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is the purport of Jao Bhagavata Pada Vaishnava Rasthane Ekanta Ashraya Karo Chaitanya Charan. Only by taking shelter of Gauranga Mahaprabhu will all the deep secrets of Srimad Bhagavatam open up. So with that as the introduction to our Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam, we will start our discussion on this very, very beautiful verse, Canto 10, Chapter 21, Text 9. This is an immortal verse coming from the Venu Geet series, one of the five prominent chapters of the 10th canto. We will see different commentaries today, and we will see what Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti and Srila Jiva Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Baladev Vidya Bhushan, etc. have written on this verse. It's a very, very elaborately described and commented upon shloka, but I will try to summarize to the best of what I can. In the Govinda Lila Amrita, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami Pad, he writes, what can a bird do by flapping his wings in comparison to the vastness of the ocean, the sky? And what can a fish do with all its fins and ability with the depth of the ocean? Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has said, it is possible to hold the sun in one's palm. Possible. It's possible to crack open a mountain by hitting one's forehead. But it is impossible to completely describe the transcendental qualities of Brajendra Nandan Shyam Sundar Sri Krishna. So what can a bird like me, by flapping his tongue, do in the vast sky of this verse? But we will still try to touch upon something. I hope all of you will have some mercy on me. So let's sing this verse. This is composed in a chanda called as Vasanta Tilaka. So let us chant. गोप्यः किमाचरदयम् कुशलं स्म वेणोर् दामोदराधर सुधाम् अपि गोपिकानां भुङ्क्ते स्वयं यद् अवशिष्टरसमृदिन्यो ऋष्यत्वचोश्रुमुचुस्तरवो यथार्याः. अगेन् गोप्यः किमाचरदयम् कुशलं स्म वेणोर् दामोदराधर सुधाम् अपि गोपिकानां भुङ्क्ते स्वयं यदवशिष्ठरसमृदिन्यो ऋष्यत्वचोश्रुमुचुस्तरवो यथार्यः. Okay, let's go word by word. This verse is a memorization verse.
I will tell you the context of this verse. Srimad Bhagavatam has 335 chapters, of which the 10th canto is considered to be the pran, the life. 90 chapters of the 10th canto describe Krishna Leela. Of that, the first 39 chapters, we can say, describe Vraja Leela out of Krishna Leela. And the remaining 51 chapters describe Krishna's pastimes in Mathura and Dwaraka. In those 39, or let's say even up to Bhramar Gita, chapter 47, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has described there are six important chapters. Chapter 21, Venu Geet. Chapter 31, Gopi Geet. Chapter 35, Yugal Geet. Chapter 39, Viraha Geet. Not to forget chapter 29, Pranaya Geet. And chapter 47, Bhramar Geet. These are all important sections of the 10th canto, apart from the five chapters of the Rasa Leela, from 29 to 33. So this chapter 21 describes Purva Rag, which means the first meeting of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. The development of very beautiful, sweet devotional mood, loving service in the heart of Srimati Radharani, being attracted to Vrajendra Nandan, Shyamasundar Shri Krishna. So this chapter, Venu Geet, has 20 verses, and the first six verses are spoken by Srila Shukdev Goswami. Even the last one is spoken by Shukdev Goswami. But the remaining 13 verses are spoken by the Braja Gopis. Especially verse 9 is more significant, because out of the 13 verses spoken by the Braja Gopis, this verse 9 is spoken by Srimati Radharani herself. And this has been given in the commentaries. Our Acharyas describe verse 9 was spoken by Radharani. And as a response, verse 10 was spoken by Lalita Sakhi, as a response to this shloka. Take it. Chalo, let's open up this verse. Let's perform an anvaya, and then we'll see what the meaning of this verse is. So, Gopiyaha, Radharani is speaking to all the gopis. She's getting their attention. Oh, gopis. Kim acharad ayam kushalam sma venu. Ayam venu, this venu. So, I will open up the English, so it's already split up. Yeah. Gopyaha, O gopis, Radharani is speaking. I am this Venur. Please note the word I am and the word Venu both refer to the flute in a male context. Venu is the name of Krishna's flute. Krishna has three flutes described by Rupa Goswami and Kavi Karanapur. Kavi Karanapur and Anand Vrindavan Champu and Rupa Goswami and Vidak Mata. Krishna has three flutes, Venu, Murli and Vamsi. And the word I am is a male usage. So Radharani is saying this male flute, I am Venu, this male flute, Kim Kushalam Acharad. What good activities? Kim means what? Kushalam means good, Bhadramai. And Acharad means Acharanam or activities in the past tense. So what good activities has this male flute performed? And sma refers to vismay. Indeed, astonishing. What good qualities or what good tapasya and activities has the flute undertaken in his past life? Yeah, or in the past, in this birth? Why? Damodara adhara sudham bhungte swayam. Damodara refers to Krishna. And adhara refers to the lower lip. What about the flute? This adhara sudham. Sudha means nectar. So I request the devotees, if you find it easier to take notes and write these points down, if that helps us understand the verse better, so be it. Whatever helps us. So, O gopis, said Srimati Radharani, this male flute, Kim Kushalam Acharad, what good qualities or what good tapasya, what good activities from the past has this male flute undertaken? Why? Damodara Adhara Sudham. Sudha means nectar. The nectar of Krishna's, Damodara's lips, Bhungte, Swayam Bhungte. Swayam means himself and Bhungte means drink. So this flute, so Radharani is not saying that Krishna is playing the flute. Radharani is saying that this flute is sitting on the throne of Krishna's lower lip and drinking all the sweetness of Krishna's lip. Sudha means nectar. Sudha, sudhara, madhuram, pade, pade. At every step there is nectar. How much nectar? Sudha, sudhara. Very nice play of words. Sudha, sudhara, madhuram, pade, pade. At every step there's nectar flow. It's like a river of nectar. Adhara, damodara, adhara, sudham. The nectar of Damodara's lower lip, swayam, he himself bhungte. He drinks. This flute drinks. Now, whom does this nectar belong to? Api Gopikana. This nectar of Krishna, Krishna's form, qualities, pastimes, attributes, the beauty of his face, his guna lila, his naam rupa guna lila dham parikar seva, his rupa madhuri, venu madhuri, lila madhuri, prema madhuri, everything, all sweetness. If Krishna is a rain cloud, that nectar rain in that rain cloud called Krishna is meant for whom? The chataka pakshis, called as the gopis. Garjasi meghana yachasi toyam. Chataka pakshi vyakulitoham. Oh, rain cloud called Krishna, you're simply playing the flute. Garjasi. This rain cloud called Krishna is only lightning and thundering in the form of the flute sound. But na yachasi toyam. The gopis are saying, we are chataka pakshi. Especially Srimati Radharani has spoken this verse. I am a chataka pakshi and you're a rain cloud. I am waiting, oh Krishna, for your mercy. But you're only playing the flute and you're moving from one place to another. So garjasi megha na yachasi toyam. Oh rain cloud, you're only thundering with your flute, but you're not coming and giving me the water of your association. Chataka pakshi vyakulitoham. As a chataka pakshi, I am vyakulita. I am waiting eagerly. I am desperately, helplessly waiting for your association. So everything of Krishna belongs to the gopis headed by Srimati Radharani. So then Radharani is saying, okay, after the flute has drunk the nectar of Krishna's lips and the nectar of Krishna's face, we could say if Krishna's face is a lotus flower, then his lips are like the nectar in the middle of that lotus flower. And the gopis are like the honeybee. They have complete control over the lotus flower called Krishna. Or let's say Krishna is a moon. Krishna's face is the moon. Then his flute playing and Krishna's smile are the moonbeams. And the gopis are like the kumudini. They're the night blooming lotus. So many wonderful utpreksha's or metaphors could be given in this regard. So Krishna completely is the property of Radharani. Where is this given? In the 11th canto, chapter 5, text 34, it is described. Tyaktva sudustyaja surepsita rajya lakshmim dharmishcha arya vachasa yadagadaranyam mayam rigam daitayepsita manvadhavat vande mahapurushate charanaravindam. You can see here in this verse, Krishna is described as, according to the commentary of Srila Jiva Goswami, he is described maya mrigam daita yepsita manvadhavat. Maya mrigam. According to yoga maya, Krishna has become a stuffed toy for his daita, for all his wonderful associates headed by the gopis. So Krishna belongs api gopikanam, completely to the gopis. Then after the flute has drunk the nectar of Krishna's lips, what does he do? Yad avashishta rasam. Krishna's lips have become completely dry because all the nectar the flute has drunk. Then what does he do? He makes Krishna so thirsty that now Krishna goes to the ponds, Rudini, all the rivers and ponds, the water body. And Krishna does Atman there. He drinks water, washes his face and bathes. By that, what happens? All the nectar of the lips is taken away by the flute and whatever is left behind, the flute is arranging so that all of that goes to the water bodies, not to the gopis. So the gopis don't get it. And what remains, that also the gopis don't get. The flute takes Krishna to the Ridhinis or the water bodies. Why? What is so special about this? Well, where is the flute coming from? It is coming from the tree, the Taravaha. The flute is coming from the tree. And the tree is nourished by the roots of the trees are nourished by the water of the river. Which means you can say if the flute is the child, then the river and the tree are like the parents. They are the superiors. So the gopis are saying, this flute is so mischievous. After drinking Krishna's nectar all for himself, then he makes Krishna thirsty and takes Krishna to his family. That is the rivers. And the rivers are now touching Krishna's lips as Krishna is doing Achman. And as Krishna is washing his face. And as Krishna is bathing. And sometimes Krishna is even dipping the flute in the water as he is bathing. So whatever nectar of Krishna's lips is there in the flute or left behind on Krishna's lips, all of that mixes with the rivers. And what do the rivers do then? As a result, rishyatvacha. The skin of the water bodies, rishyat, they become very joyful. How is that known? Hair stands on the end of the skin of the rivers, which means the lotus flowers on the surface of the river, which are like hair of those river, they are all blossoming when being touched by the avashishta rasam, the rasa of the lips of Krishna, whatever is remaining. When that is touched in the water, then the hair on the tvacha, the hair on the skin of the water bodies, which means the lotus on the surface, they all blossom. And now the river has waves and tides because ashtasattvik bhav, the different tides of emotions are there in the heart of the water body. There are waves and tides, even in a pond, even in a flowing river. Romancha kampashru taranga bhajo vande guru shri charanarvindam. Romancha. Ancha means at the end and Roma means hair. So the hair standing on the end is called Romancha. Kampa means trembling. Ashru taranga, which means rivers of tears. So pure Vaishnavas, they feel so much joy while doing bhajan. They are feeling nayanam galadashru dharaya like Mahaprabhu. What to speak of the water bodies where Krishna himself is going and touching his lips. Their hair is standing on end by the blossoming of the lotus flowers. And there's waves and tides in the form of trembling. It's very, very poetic because in Sanskrit, the word bhuja means arms. But in the context of rivers, the word bhuja also means waves. So by saying bhuja kampana, it means either the trembling of the waves or it can mean trembling of the arms. So very poetically, you can say that the waves or the rivers, by being touched by the lips of Krishna, they're having all different bhavs. Then what happens as they're having waves, some of the water spills over the banks and then it sprinkles the roots of the tree. The trees which are on the banks of these rivers, their roots are being nourished by the waves of this river. As a result, what happens? Ashru mumuchuhu. The trees, taravaha, it's in the plural sense. Ridinyaha, taravaha, all in the plural sense, which means many water bodies and many trees. All of them, what happens? Ashru mumuchu. Now the trees start crying. How do they start crying? The water of the rivers, it spills over the banks in happiness. The river wants to give its joy to the tree. And the tree which is on the banks, the roots are being touched. And naturally now, there's not sap, but there's honey dripping down the trunk of the tree, as if the trees are crying in joy. So the gopis are saying, Radharani is saying, first of all, this nonsensical flute, being a male, is sitting on the lips of Krishna. He has no shame. And then he's drinking all of that himself. Look at the word swayam, which means he's drinking it all by himself. He doesn't need anybody's help or permission. It doesn't even belong to him. Api gopikana. But he still drinks it. And whatever is left behind, that also he doesn't share. He goes and that avashishta rasam, he goes and shares it with his family. He goes and gives it to the lakes and to the trees. And the lakes are so happy that the river, the lotus is blossoming on the surface and trees are dripping down the tree, the trunk of the tree. How? Yatha aryaha. Arya means forefathers. So when forefathers see that their grandchildren are very great devotees, how the grandparents cry, what bhajan we could not do, oh, our grandchildren are doing. So even if we go to hell, they can save us. So Arya. So here the tree and the river, they are the superiors, and the flute is the baby. So why are the trees crying? Yatha Arya. Because the comparison given is, the trees cannot go with Krishna from one forest to another. They are sthira chara. They are not chara, but they're sthira. They are standing in one place. And what about the lakes? They also have to wait for Krishna to come to them. For the trees, they have to wait for Krishna to come to them. But their descendant, the flute, he doesn't have to wait for Krishna to come to him. He goes with Krishna everywhere. So the rivers and the trees are crying that, oh, how glorious. What we could not do, that our descendant, the flute, has done. He goes with Krishna everywhere, from forest to forest. And his fortune is greater than that of the cows. Because the cows can also go with Krishna, but only from sunrise to sunset. After that, the cows have to sleep. They have no probation Krishna's Madhurya Mai Leelas. They have probation Krishna's Vatsali Leelas and Sakhya Leelas. And of course, Dasya Leelas. But not in the Madhurya Leelas. You don't find cows in the Nikunja. You have peacocks and deer, etc. So, greater than the cow is the position of the flute. Why? Because the flute is always there with Krishna. While being with the gopas, the flute is there. While being with the gopis, the flute is there. The flute is there in the Vatsali Leelas also, in the Sakhya Leelas also, in the Madhurya Leelas also, at day, at night, at Govardhan, at Nandagram, everywhere. And he goes straight to the nectar spot, Krishna's lips. It's inconceivable. Srila Bilva Mangala Thakur, in his epic Krishna Karanamrita, he writes, Madhuram Madhuram Vapurasya Vibho, Madhuram Madhuram Vadanam Madhuram, Madhu Gandhi Mridhusmita Metadaho, Madhuram 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 Madhuram. Shripad Bilva Mangala Thakur says, if this world has Madhura, then Krishna's form has two Madhuras. Madhuram Madhuram Vapurasya Vibho. The form of Vibhu Shri Krishna has two Madhura. But out of that form, Madhuram Madhuram Vadanam Madhuram, the face gets three Madhurams. If there is some sweetness in this world, one Madhuram. But Krishna's form, two Madhurams. It's double the sweetness of whatever we can experience. And of all the things in Krishna's sweet form, Krishna's face, triple Madhuram. Madhuram Madhuram Vadanam Madhuram. And of all the things on the face, Madhu Gandhi Smritam, Madhu Gandhi Smitam Etadaho. Oh, that smiling, honey-laden, fragrant lips of Krishna. Madhuram, 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 he writes. He says, Madhu Gandhi Mridhu Smitam Etat Aho. Aho, what can I say about those lips? Krishna's lips are inconceivably sweet. This is why we find even Sripad Vallabhacharya ji, when he starts his Madhurashtakam, the first thing that he says, Adharam Madhuram, Vadanam Madhuram, Nayanam Madhuram, Hasitam Madhuram, Ridayam Madhuram, Gamanam Madhuram, Madhuradhipate Rakhilam Madhuram. If everything about Krishna is sweet, oh, it starts with Adharam Madhuram, the lips are sweet. So the gopis here, they express, especially Srimati Radharani, expressing this transcendental rasic rivalry, Radha's rasic rivalry with the flute, or for the flute. This is the purport, Yatharya. They're just like the forefathers are comfortable and very happy and proud of their grandson. Here the trees are very proud because the cows can move from one place to another, but the flute moves when Krishna holds the flute. He either tucks the flute to his waist or holds in his palm or tucks in his lips. And this flute is there. Ashtaprahar, all 24 hours. So what the trees cannot and what the river bodies cannot, what no Brajbasi can, that the flute can. You see? All the gopas, they get all day with Krishna. They get all day. And the gopis get all night with Krishna. The gopis are busy with their household chores, so they can be with Krishna all day. And the gopas have to sleep at night, so they can be all night. So it's described by our acharyas that the gopas, while being with Krishna all day, they desire to be at night also. So therefore, they kind of curse the moon. They don't want to see the moon. they bless the sun and they curse the moon, the gopas, because they want the sun to rise early and stay all day so that they can be with Krishna. And the gopis, on the other hand, they bless the moon and curse the sun. May the moon be in the sky for a long, long time. So this is the hidden reason why Radharani goes to Suryakund to do Surya Puja, requesting Suryadev, you know, can you rise 1 hour late tomorrow? I am doing puja to you. I want to bribe you with all the samagri, gandha pushpa dhoop deep naivedya. Oh Suryadev, please don't come if possible. If you want to come little late so that we can get more time with Krishna. But however, it's never possible for the gopas and gopis to get 24 hours with Krishna. This is why Giriraj is the best among servants. Hantaya madri ravala haridasa variyo. He's the best among servants. Why? Because he fulfilled this unfulfilled desire in the life of the gopis and the gopas. For 7 days during the Govardhan Leela, when Krishna lifted Giriraj on the top of his pinky left, little finger of his left hand, we can see 7 days and seven nights. All gopas, all gopis, all associates of Krishna were with Krishna under the roof of Giriraj Govardhan. Because Govardhan fulfilled the desire of Srimati Radharani and her camp of being with Krishna all day and all night, not just for one day, but for 7 days. Therefore, Radharani says, Hari Dasa Varya. Oh, Giriraj, you are best among servants because you have fulfilled our desire. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami says, Giri Nripa Hari Dasa Shreni Varyeti Nama Amritam Uditam Shri Radhika Vaktra Chandra. From the moon-like lips of Radharani, these terms of glorification came, that, oh Giriraj, you're certainly the best among servants because you got all of us together. So the point is, anybody who can be with Krishna all day and all night is the most fortunate. So in this verse, there is what is called as Vyajastuti. Vyajastuti means where there is glorification through criticism. So here the flute is being sarcastically, or there's some satire here, sarcastically criticized by Radharani, but there's actually supreme glories of the flute. So Vijay Prabhu, can you kindly read the translation here?
Yes, Prabhuji. My dear gopis, what auspicious activities must the flute have performed to enjoy the nectar of Krishna's lips independently and leave only a taste for us gopis, for whom that nectar is actually meant? The forefathers of the flute, the bamboo trees, shed tears of pleasure. His mother, the river on whose bank the bamboo was born, feels jubilation, and therefore her blooming lotus flowers are standing like hair on her body.
Very beautiful. Here, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says something fascinating. He says the reason why Radharani says, Kim Kushalam Acharat. What good activities has the flute done? There are three reasons, he says. One is, Srimati Radharani is certainly amazed herself that, oh gopis, what has the flute done in his past life? You know, that's one response. Kim kushalam acharat? Like, what has the flute? I am Venuhu. Hey gopyaha. Kim kushalam acharat? What good things has the flute done in his past life to get the association of Krishna? That's one reason. Another reason of saying Kim Kushala Macharat is Radharani really wants the gopis to go and do an astrological chart of the Venu. Please find out what he has done in his past life. What yajnas has he done in his past life? What tapasya has he done in his past life? What kind of names has he chanted in his past life? What tirtha yatra or tirtha pariyatan, pilgrimage travel has he taken? Which are the holy ponds where he has dipped? What kind of shastras has he read? Because we will also do that, so that next life we will also have the close proximity of Krishna's association. So first reason of Kim Kushalam Acharat is just amazement. Radharani is not asking for any details. She's just, wow, how amazing. What has he done in this past life? That's one, Chakravarti Padra. Second meaning, Radharani is really wanting to know a list of things that the flute has done. Telling her sakis, please find out, make an astrological chart of when this flute appeared and where. And please get to know what the position of his Jupiter is and what the position of his Mercury is, so that we can know what he has done in his past life, right? Third meaning, Kim Kushalam Acharat. It's a sarcastic question. What has he done in his past life? Nothing. He has not done anything in his past life. You know, that's the third response. What has he done in his past life? What could have, because the confidence in which he's speaking is, if he would have done something good, do you think, O Sakis, he will be born as a bamboo flute, a lifeless bamboo? Is that what you get by doing good activities in past life? He has not done anything. He's just born as a bamboo. So three responses, Chakravarti Pad says. And by saying, I am Venu, by using this word, I am, Radharani showing the clear mismatch of the flute and Krishna. Because generally, we can say that the opposites attract, right? But here Krishna is Yadavanam Shiroratnam. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. So he's the Chakravarti. He's the king. But who is the Chakravartini? Vrindavan Chakravartini is one name for Radharani. Please note the word Chakravarti in Sanskrit means the king. And Chakravartini means queen. So she is the queen of Vraja, Radharani. But apart from that, there's a very deep meaning to the word Chakravarti or Chakravartini. If there is a wheel, the center of the wheel is called Chakravarti. That center around which the whole wheel moves is called Chakravarti. So by saying Radharani is Vrindavan Chakravartini, we can say if Vrindavan is the wheel, then Radharani is the center. And everything goes around that center of Radharani's service, including Krishna. But between Radha and Krishna, where is this flute coming into the picture? So this is the point. I am Venu. How is this that a male member has made his way so close to Krishna? Our acharyas describe the word gopiyah has been used for a specific reason. Why? The purport here is Srimati Radharani is saying the word gopa means to hide. Gopaniya, right? Gopyatama, which means secret or to hide something. So by starting with the Sambodhan Gopyah, acharyas are saying Radharani is hinting to all the sakhis. Why not we make a sinister plan of hiding this flute so that Krishna never finds it again? So to give this idea of hiding with the Gupdhatu in Sanskrit, which means to hide, Radharani has made the word Gopya to say, oh Sakis, oh those who are expert in hiding, why not we make a plan to hide this flute away from Krishna so that the time that Krishna spends with the flute, he can spend with his devotees like the gopis. That's one meaning of the word Gopya. Apart from that, another meaning why the word Gopya has been used, Radharani is asking all her Sakis, weren't we all told to appear as gopis? Weren't we told that Krishna is going to be a gopa and we should appear as gopis and that's how we can meet him? Still, even after being born in the same caste as Krishna, we are in the same species. We are the human beings. We are born in the same place of Braja. We are born in the same caste as Krishna, and Krishna is male and we are in Prakriti, Para Prakriti. We are born in feminine form. So it's perfect combination for Leela Vilas, for meeting. But even beyond all that, look, the flute has nothing common with Krishna. He's not the same species as Krishna. He's just a bamboo flute. He didn't appear in the same place as Krishna. He's not a female even. So he's some lifeless rod. Weren't we told to appear as gopis so that we, being in the same jati as gopis, we can be with Krishna? What is the use of being born as gopis? That's the purport here. By calling Gopyah, why did we even appear as gopis if we don't get Goparaj, Vraja Raja Sutta Shri Krishna's association? So these are some things mentioned as far as the first line. Now some acharyas describe about why the word Damodar has been used. The word Damodar has been used for three reasons. Reason number one, the gopis are saying, Radharani is saying, do you all remember the day when Mother Yashoda bound Krishna and we were all laughing? Do you remember? We know Krishna from that day. And His Holiness Shivaram Swami Maharaj writes in the book Damodar Janani through research. He says that Krishna received his flute after the Damodar Leela. So during the Damodar Leela, Krishna did not have his flute. So by saying Damodar, what Radharani is saying is that, oh gopis, do you remember when Krishna was bound by Mother Yashoda? At that time also we knew him, but there was no flute at that time. Which means the flute doesn't know Krishna as far back in the history, as long as far as we know Krishna. You know, for as long as we know Krishna, the flute doesn't know Krishna. This came just now. He's just a recent intruder in Krishna Leela. But still he climbed up to Krishna's lips. Huh? This is the meaning of the word Damodar, hinting to Damodar Leela that we know Krishna from the time when he was bound by Mother Yashoda. We all were laughing at that time. All gopis, do you remember? There was no flute at that time. We were there with Krishna even then. That's one meaning. Another meaning of the word Damodar means during the Damodar Leela, Krishna had nothing except a kopin. Krishna did not have anything except a kopin. He was a three-year-old child. So he was not wearing anything. So the gopis are hinting that those who are there with their husband, even when the husband is going through poverty, they are the rightful claimers of the property of the husband. So even when Krishna had nothing with him, which means he was running around as Damodar with a kopin, we were there with him even then. The flute was not there. Only after Krishna got his peacock feather and nice yellow dhoti and lot of ornaments, looking at the Aishwarya of Krishna, the flute has gotten attracted. So he's not the true inheritor of the property of Krishna. We wives, eternal consorts of Krishna, who have been there with him through all his downs, ups and downs. Downs meaning even the time when he was running in his kopin. We are there with Krishna. So this Damodar refers to that. Or the word Damodar could refer to Radha Damodar. Radharani bound Krishna, not with a rope like Mother Yashoda, but by a flower garland around the tree. Srila Jiva Goswami explains this. So Radharani is saying, didn't I bind Krishna as Radha Damodar? So shouldn't I be the inheritor to everything that belongs to Krishna? Why is this flute coming? Did the flute bind Krishna or did I bind Krishna? So gopis are saying, Radha, Radha, oh Radharani, you bound Krishna, no one else. So hinting to that, she's saying Damodar. And then, api gopika nam. Radharani is now here, not just saying me, she's including in Bahuvachan. Shashti Bahuvachan has been used here. Gopika nam. Oh gopis, it belongs to all of you. But all of you are gopi ka. In Sanskrit, when the syllable ka gets used, it means komal, soft-hearted. You can see the mother is called Amba, but when you want to say the soft-hearted mother, she's called Ambika. Radha becomes Radhika. Mala becomes Malika. And gopi becomes gopika. So Radharani is telling all the gopis, oh, all of you are gopika, which means all of you are soft-hearted. All of you are not seeing the injustice that is happening to all of us done by the flute. So on behalf of all of you, I am speaking this verse. Api gopika now. Oh, all innocent, soft-hearted gopis, I am not just speaking for myself. I'm speaking on behalf of all of you. How sweet. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, this Srimad Bhagavatam, how is it? Krishna Tulya Bhagavata Vibhu Sarvashroy Prati Shloke Prati Akhare Nana Arthe Koi. That this Srimad Bhagavatam, every syllable has multifacets and multifarious layers of meaning. So this is why Gadadhar Pandit could sing one verse in six different classical melodies. He would, every time he would sing it, please note classical ragas have to do with emotions. And emotions come through words. So when different meanings are taken out of these different words, different emotions come. And to express them, different ragas are used by Gadadhar Pandit. So he's singing the same words in different melodies out of different emotions, rising out of different meanings out of these words. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu relished it like that. Srila Prabhupada said, don't read my books. He said, scrutinizingly study my books, word by word. One verse is enough to absorb our mind and consciousness. Machitta, madgata prana bodhayanta paraswara. Krishna says, chitta must be with me, prana must be with me, your tongue must be with me. Karmana manasa vacha, vaibhavam tava gocharam. Right? So this is just the vyakhya for the two lines. Now let's continue. The gopis then say, bhungte. Bhungte means he is accepting, he is drinking. But bhungte here also refers to relishing in the sense that the gopis are saying, Radharani is saying, the flute is not just drinking. When Krishna is playing the flute, he is not playing the flute. That is the burp. That is the belching of the flute. The flute is drinking so much rasa from Krishna's lips that he's loudly belching and making all of us envious. He's belching loudly. Loudly he's making sound through his mouth. So the sound that we are hearing, it's not Krishna playing the flute. It is the flute belching and loudly burping his good fortune, making us envious. Oh, gopis, look at this. Hear this once more. You know, that which belongs to you, I am taking it without your permission, and I won't even share it with you, and I will do it in public, and I will belch loudly my great good fortune. So this is the deep meaning of the word Punkte Swayam, which means the flute doesn't need help from anyone. The flute doesn't share it with anyone. He doesn't even ask permission from anyone. Rather than he's telling the gopis, if the flute comes and asks us for permission, will we say no? No, we will not say no. He should at least ask out of etiquette permission. But he's not asking. And let's say even if he drinks, he can drink for 5-10 minutes and then just let go of Krishna's lips and leave the remaining time for Krishna smiling, Krishna singing, Krishna's words. All of this are Adharamrita. Sometimes even Mother Yashoda asks baby Krishna after he comes back from Gocharan, Krishna, can you give me a kiss? And Krishna says, I'm too tired. Why he's too tired? Because the lips have become dry because of this interesting hero called as the flute. So Radharani is saying, Bhungte Swayam. He is belching and burping his own good fortune and making the whole of Braja hungry and thirsty. He's the only one tasting. Bhungte Swayam. Lot of purport can be given to this phrase. And then, what is left behind? What rasa? Avashishta rasa. Now the word Avashishta rasa has two meanings. Two meanings. One meaning is, whatever is left behind is called Avashesh. Right? Whatever is left behind is Avashesh. That's one meaning. So for example, you can say, let's say, I'll give a practical example. Let's say there is a lot of sabji, okay, in a big container. There are some devotees who come, and what do? They will say, oh, just give me more paneer. And they will take all the paneer from the sabji and put it in the plate and go. So the next few devotees who come to eat, what they get? Avashishta rasa. They get only the gravy or the left behind taste rasa. They don't get any paneer. So they are complaining. So one meaning of avashishta rasa is the remnant that's left behind. So Radharani is saying, whatever sabji gravy is left, the rasa is left, that at least he should share. But that also he's not sharing. So that's one meaning of avashishta rasa. But in Sanskrit, whenever the prefix ava is used, it also means opposite. You can say unnati means progress and avanati means to fall. So Radharani is saying he is not even leaving good taste behind. Ava shishta rasa, all the useless faltu taste that is left behind, that also he takes away. Not, so one meaning is the remaining taste. Another meaning is what is left behind is, you know, useless. That nobody wants. It's, you know, it's not the actual rasa. He drinks all of that and leaves behind some, you know, water. We don't want that. And that also, if he gives, we will be grateful. Our property, he takes without our permission. And only he takes without any sharing. That too in public. That too day after day after day. And that too he's belching and burping to make us envious. And what he's leaving behind, that also he doesn't give. And where does he give? Ridinya Rishyatvacha. He gives it to the river, and then that river, the river share it with the trees, and the trees feel ecstatic symptom. Now the acharyas have said something very beautiful regarding Yatha Arya. We mentioned the word Arya refers to like forefathers, right? Just like the forefathers are happy seeing the grandson, so similarly the rivers and the trees are happy. But there's one more meaning here. Here the word Arya doesn't, it could be in connection to the forefathers of the flute. That's right, which is the river and the tree. But the word Arya can also refer to Radharani's Arya. Radharani's superior. Who is Radharani's superior? Jatila. Which means looking at the ecstasy coming from the rivers and the trees, crying like the trees. Radharani is saying the trees are crying Yatha Arya, like Jatila cries. Two meanings here. One meaning, Radharani is complaining that Jatila Devi is very cranky old lady. So she's always cribbing and crying about something, which means she has a lot of tears to cry. So this means that the trees are crying so much honey dripping through the trunk like my mother-in-law. As much as Jatila cries, so much the trees are crying. Yes, my grumpy old mother-in-law, as much as she cribs and cries, so much these trees are crying. Or another meaning is, oh, Sakhis, all of you know how much Jatila cries looking at Shamsundar. Why? Jatila is crying, oh, I became old before time. I should have been a young, beautiful gopi when Krishna appeared. Then I could have also gotten attracted and danced and sung with him. Unfortunately, I was born one generation before Shamsundar. So Yatharya, just like Jatila cries that, oh, my fortune, I have broken fortune. Only if I appeared one generation later, instead of being the mother-in-law of Radharani, I could have been a Braja singing and dancing with Shamsundar because I would have been young. So as much as Jatila cries in misfortune, so much the trees are crying in fortune. So Virod Abhas Alankar has been used here in Sanskrit, that opposite things have been used to heighten the effect. Just like Jatila cries regarding her misfortune, so much the trees are crying thinking of their good fortune. So in this way, Radharani has sung very, very beautiful description of this one verse in Vasanta Tilaka Chanda, glorifying Sri Krishna, who is the very sweet, wonderful, attractive flute player of Vrindavan. As we wrap up, we want to offer a very, very beautiful prayer to Krishna, who plays on the flute. Govardhana Prasthana Vambhuvaha Kalinda Kanya Navanila Padmam Vrindavanodhara Tamala Shakhi Tapatrayasya Abhibhavam Karotu. Srila Rupa Goswami in the Padyavali has described that, O Sri Krishna, what should I call you? Govardhana Prastha Nava Ambuvaha. When you are on top of Govardhan, should I call you as a rain-filled monsoon cloud, where your complexion is that of a cloud, your yellow dhoti is that of lightning, and your flute playing is that of thundering? When you're on top of Govardhan, should I call you a bluish-black rain-filled monsoon cloud? Or Kalinda Kanya Navanila Padmam, or when you're swimming in the Yamuna, should I call you the completely blossomed bluish-black complexion, night-blooming lotus flowers? Or Vrindavana Udara Tamala Shakhi, when you are standing with your arms raised in the middle of the forest of Braj, should I call you a tamal tree where your arms are like the branches? My Lord, either way, whether you are a cloud or whether you are a lotus or whether you are a tamal tree, I have only one request. Tapatraya Abhibhavam Karotu. May each one of these forms of yours, as the cloud, as the lotus, and as a tamal tree, destroy the Adi Devik, Adi Bhautik, and Adhyatmic suffering in the life of a conditioned soul. To all our Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas who have lived their life offering so much to all of us through their commentaries, and to Srila Prabhupada, who took this painstaking act of sacrifice and compassion of translating all of this word by word, syllable after syllable, word by word, line by line, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, canto by canto of the Vedic literature, to Srila Prabhupada and all our wonderful acharyas in the Gaudiya Guru Varga, I bow down and I offer my obeisances in gratitude. To all of you who tolerated me for the last 1 hour or so, with all the boredom that I had to offer, I really want to offer my obeisances. Sorry for torturing all of you. Panchakalpatrubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah.